Amen. Let's go ahead and take our Bibles once again to Mark chapter number 14. I told you in Sunday school this morning, we were going to continue to go back to Mark 14 all day. And that's what we're going to finish up tonight, looking at Mark chapter 14. We are going to focus on one verse, but we're going to use a lot of different application that goes along with that. We are going to kind of retell the story that we mentioned this morning. We won't go through re-preaching everything, but I know not everyone was out here for Sunday school, Sunday morning and Sunday night. So that way, kind of build a little bit on the foundation that's already been laid throughout the day. This morning in Sunday school, we started off talking about the story, and we looked at the contrast between Judas Iscariot and Mary of Bethany. And we set the foundation why we believe it's Mary of Bethany here in Mark chapter 14, and it was in Matthew chapter 26 because of what's written in John chapter number 12. And as you go there and you consider what's being said here, this is the story. It says in verse number 3, and being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper. So we know the story. We know that Mary comes in, she anoints Jesus' head and anoints Jesus' feet. And it's just a beautiful picture. It's just beautiful worship. It's just the love that God that is being showed to Jesus Christ. And we come to this moment in time that as we looked at it, we looked at those differences. We looked at the influences that Judas had. Judas influenced the disciples to criticize Mary. Mary's influence is now going to be spread. And if you look what it says in verse number 9, because this is where we're going to look at mostly tonight. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she have done shall be spoken of for a memorial for her. So this is the influence she uses. Judas here, he uses influence, and what did he do? He got the disciples to criticize Mary, to make Mary feel bad. And it wasn't because Judas really wanted to help the poor in the stories, because we learned in John chapter 12, Judas was a thief. He wanted to skim money off the top. So he criticizes Mary for this, trying to demonstrate, hey, you shouldn't do this type of worship. You should not do this type of sacrifice or this type of offering, because Judas doesn't get to take the money off the top like he likes to do. And so you see the difference in the influence, and there are such stark differences. Judas looks at this and he says, this is a waste. And when we looked at the contrast to this morning, is what was really the waste? The fact that Judas walked for over 3 years with Jesus Christ, and the end of his life, he ends up not believing, ends up betraying, ends up in hell. And we think about the difference in the resources. We think about the difference in the influences. We just see a stark difference. He goes to the religious leaders, and does he say? What will you give me? And then we saw Mary of Bethany's, what can I give you? And we looked at that, how sometimes people look at ministry or look at our church and say, what is it that I can get out? Instead of saying what I can put in. Stark difference after difference after difference. And here we come to this moment in time that we saw the difference between Judas and we saw the difference between Mary and Bethany. And we see here in this story, a wonderful little phrase that's found in verse number 8 is what we looked at this morning in the regular service. She have done what she could. And we looked at different things. We looked at it from this perspective, the things that she could not do. She could not save anyone. She could not replace Jesus. She could not. And there's lots of things that she could not do, but she did what she could. And the importance of us doing what we can. It's not about, and once again, this is a very tragic time for Mary. Mary is coming to anoint his body before his burial, before his death. And all those things are happening. It's an emotional time. It's a disappointing time. Her Messiah is leaving. She doesn't understand. She's overwhelmed with emotions. She doesn't know what to do. And she knows that there isn't anything she can do to stop the Roman government, the Roman soldiers. Nothing she can do to stop the cross, because that was God's will. But there was something she could do, and that's what she did. She have done what she could. And we looked at all the type of things that she could not do. We looked at things, all the things that we can do. And then we thought about this, do the things you can while you can. And we thought about that, how Mary had the opportunity to anoint Jesus's body, but those that waited until after he died, they took the spices and they got it ready, but they never ever got to actually anoint the body because the body wasn't there. Do what you can when you can. Make sure you're always doing what the Lord is giving you an opportunity to do. And it's not about what you can't do. It's about what you can do. Stop using excuses. Oh, I can't go over and do this, this, and that. I'm not going to do anything. No, we're going to be held accountable for what we can do. So she have done what she could. And that's what I'm encouraging us to do, what we can. He said, Pastor, it doesn't seem like much. What's the big deal here? I mean, but look at what happens. We see in this verse here, this is something that even though the disciples looked at it and said it was a waste, Jesus looked at it and says, you know what? That's beautiful. And not only is that beautiful, Jesus says this extravagant gift of love from Mary would be retold over and over. And look what it says in verse number 9. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached, it's something that's going to be told over and over. Isn't that amazing? For 2,000 years, that statement has been proven true. For 2,000 years, or almost 2,000 years, it has been given as an example of the love that we could have and that we should have and what we can demonstrate. This is what we can do. And it's that list of things that we can do. We can worship. Nothing stops us from worshiping. We can sacrifice. Nothing stops us from being sacrificing. We can be faithful. We can be obedient. We can do these things. So instead of looking at the things, well, I can't do this and I can't do that, do what you can. And God can take what you can and do something special with it. And so when you look at this and you see this, imagine country after country, century after century, this woman's good work has been told. The fame that she did not seek, all she wanted to do was be an encouragement to Jesus. All she wanted to do in a world where she had no idea what she could do to make a difference, she says, you know what? There's something I know I can do. I can show love and sacrifice to my Lord and Savior. And before he dies, I can show that I love him. And I mentioned this morning, and I told you this morning about the idea of him and her anointing him and how I truly believe that type of ointment it was and the way it was preserved and the way it was intended to be used when it was poured on the body, when it got into the pores of an individual, it's something that would stay with them, and that this is close to the betrayal. This is close to the death. This is close to the resurrection. But you think about that smell would have been inside his clothes. And if he was wearing the same clothes, which most of the times that's something they would do, it would be something that in the outer garment would have been put on there, but it would have got inside his pores. And you can imagine when he was there that night, what does it talk about when he was there and he was praying that night? It was as if great drops of blood was coming out. His pores were being opened. And once again, it's my imagination. It's that sanctified imagination. But can you imagine, even when he was sweating and all the things he's going through, the smell that he could have had? And even though he was going to face the hardest night, probably the hardest night, maybe the cross was harder, but I believe that night in that garden and all the things he experienced, from the garden to the betrayal to the mock trial to the beating to the spitting upon to the hitting of the hands to the nailing to the cross, putting the crown of thorns on his head, taking the robe on, the mocking, all those things, there have always been that smell. There's somebody who loves me. Everybody else had forsaken him. And there are so many people being cruel and so many people being ugly, so many people letting the devil just use them whatever way they want. But there was a smell that he had that would have been with him, at least I believe, would have carried with him. There's someone. That's what I want to be. I want to be someone that is a sweet-smelling savor to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, you see, what do you mean sweet-smelling savor? Well, in the Bible, there's a number of different sacrifices that have been mentioned that is a sweet smell. And I'm not going to go through all of them. That sweet savor is mentioned 44 times in the Bible, but it's often connected to sacrifices. And Noah built an altar unto the Lord and took every clean beast and of every clean fowl and offered a burnt offering on the altar, and the Lord smelled a sweet savor. Book of Philippians puts it a different way. It says in Philippians 4:18, after all the things they had done for Paul, and Paul says, but I have all and abound, and I am full and have received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. Paul saying, as a church, you've done so much for me. I love all the things you've done for me. Thank you so much. And he was a blessing. He was blessed by it. He was encouraged by it. And he says, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. And I don't know about you, but that's what I want. I want to be recognized as, not recognized, I want the Lord, my sacrifice, my daily sacrifice, be something that's acceptable to him. It reminds me back in 1 Samuel chapter 15, when they were offering the sacrifices about the Amalekites, the animals they took. God says, you know, it's better to obey than sacrifice. It's better to listen. He doesn't want the sacrifices. Isaiah chapter number 3 gives a picture that talks about that it was a stink instead of, I think it's Isaiah 3, 24, that talks about it was a stink instead of a smell that was sweet. I don't want my life to be something that's given over and I do all these things and God says, that wasn't something I was pleased with. So the title of tonight's message is, what will they say about you? What will they say about you? Are we doing what we can? And we're going to look at some different things, some different thoughts. And obviously the biggest thing is, what is God going to say about you? But what will they say about you? This is a testimony in verse number 9. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. And we could go throughout the Bible and talk about different characters and different things that they were called. Abraham was known for being, anybody know what Abraham was known for being called? Friend of God. Also the father of Israel too, but the friend of God. Okay, how about Moses? Anybody remember what Moses was called? Meekest man on the earth. So there's just different things that people have been called and say, you know, that's something that describes them. So when we consider all these things, what will they say about you? I love the story. I love that this is how Mary is memorialized or given and a thought about it. And what will you be remembered for? And we can't go through this and without even considering, you know, we've all been to services before. You ever been to a funeral service, a memorial service, and you're sitting in the pew and you're listening to them talk about the person that passed away and you're asking, I wonder who they're talking about, because that's not the guy I knew. That's not the lady I knew. And it's, you know, because they're sometimes they're saying things that might surprise you. Sometimes they're saying things that just, you know, remembering the good things. And obviously at a memorial service, you're going to try to remember the good things. You're not going to get up there and you're not going to sit there and, you know, talk about all the bad things. Hopefully not. But what will they say about you? And so when you consider this, what will man say about you? I know what you're going to say. So, well, does it matter what man thinks? We do have a testimony. And yes, sometimes you're going to be misunderstood. What does Judas say? That was a waste. Jesus looked at that and said, that was beautiful. So we do understand that sometimes man is going to have something to be said. But what will your family have to say about you? You know, you can clean up and look good in front of church, but what does your family say about you? Or if they were telling the truth, what would your children say about you? What type of person are you at your home? Because that's the type of person that many times you are, is when you, who you are at home. Now, sometimes you could even lead a secret life or other things, or I have had family members come up and say things about people. And I'm wondering, hey, they didn't act that way around me, but that's fine. And I'm not being critical of that, but I'm asking, if we're looking fast forwarding to what our life looks like in the end, what do we want to be remembered as? How do we want to be remembered as? What is it that people would say? Obviously, there's times when people will misunderstand us. There are times when people will judge us. And we want to know what God will say first and foremost. But it is something that at least give thought. What type of testimony do I have amongst my family? What type of testimony do I have amongst my church family? You know what? We are supposed to be an example. How can we be an example if we have a bad testimony? I mean, the reality is we do care that people see how we live and we want people many times to follow our example. Paul said that, you know, follow after me as he followed the Lord. Can you say that about people? You're like, no, I would never say that. Work towards that. He wants us to be a living sacrifice that someone can come. And that's when they're talking about in verse number 9. This is, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she have done shall be spoken of a memorial for her. Is that just so that way she could look good? No, it's there to say, this is what an example of what love looks like. This is what an example of sacrifice looks like. This is something that is a sweet smelling savor to God. And this is something we should want to replicate and say, I want my life to be well-pleasing unto the Lord. as we had mentioned in that verse when it talked about in Philippians 4:18, when Paul is there and he's commending the church of Philippi, he said, "A odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God." In 1 Samuel 15, they're offering those sacrifices. God says, "I hate that. That is completely not what I wanted. That is not acceptable. That is not something. That is your disobedience and you trying to make yourself feel good about it. And I want my sacrifices to be something that is acceptable, that is well-pleasing to God. And they must be done God's way. We must be doing what we can." As we looked at this morning, we can be faithful. We can love. We can worship. We can do this. We can do that. So a couple thoughts here in verse number 9, and then we'll continue on going. There's a couple things I want you to see inside of this. Consider the longevity of the memorial. Consider the longevity of the memorial. Christ promised that the praise for Mary's anointing would go on as long as the gospel was preached. That was over 2,000 years that this has been going on. Thus, the continued praise of Mary's anointing has been going on for nearly 2,000 years. It's a reminder that heaven is greatly interested in many things of which the world would give little notice to. Now, sometimes people want to remember certain things and they lift certain things up. But how does God look at things? He looks at this and he says, "This is something I want to be memorialized about this lady, about this act. There is something so special about this act." He says, as long as the gospel is going to be preached for over 2,000 years. And we remember, is there things that we can remember about certain individuals from 2,000 years? Now, there is some. If you're good at history and you remember a lot of good things, you might remember things that people said 100 years ago or 200 years ago or 300 years ago. If you're really smart, maybe 400 years ago if you love history. But take the Bible out of it. You don't know anything that the Bible, you can't use anything that's found in the Bible. How much do we really know from somebody 2,000 years ago? How many quotes do we really remember? We don't. At least not many. At least not many of us would. And you might be able to say, "Well, this is one guy that said this in the 400s and the 500s. Okay, but you get the point. This is a message that was so special. And he says, there's something in here. This is something that they're going to be remembered as. What would people say about you 3 generations from now? Now, I know some people love their heritage and some people have studied their heritage and they can remember. And it's been passed down from what my great, great granddaddy would say. My family's not like that. I do not know anything about really my great-great-granddaddy. So I only met one of my grandfathers. He passed away by the time I was about 4 or 5 years old. And so I don't really have very many memories of him. I have idea who he looks like based off the pictures and remembering a couple little times. My one grandfather I never met. Both my grandmothers were around for a little while in my life. My one grandmother into my adult life. You know, I have memories of them. Before them, my great-grandparents, I can't tell you anything about them. How do I want to be remembered? What is it that you want to remember? What will people say? You say, "Well, does it matter what people say?" If you want to influence people, yes. I'm not talking about the people that want to misunderstand you. I'm not the one talking about the people like the Judases and the Judas influencers that want to say this and just be critical of things. I'm talking about we want to influence others and we want to be remembered. And what is it that you want to be said about you? So not as what is everybody else going to say, how is it that you want to be remembered? And we're going to get to the spot about God and what God says and what God thinks. But if you could write down how you want to be remembered, what would you say? If you went and you sat next to somebody and says, "Hey, I'm getting ready. The person is getting ready to pass away." And sometimes this has happened. And I'll ask them, if they ever ask me about their funerals ahead of time, you know, "This is the people I want to sing. This is the passage of scripture I want read." You said that sounds morbid. Well, it's not morbid in the idea that you want control of your last service. I've joked with my wife a little bit that I already have my service planned out. That it's going to be 3 hours long. There's going to be 4 preachers. And I know none of you guys are probably going to show up because I've been telling you that I've asked Miss Maxie to sing at it. And Miss Maxie says she doesn't think she's going to hang on that long. But she says, "I'll sing at your service as long as you preach at my service, whichever one of us go first." So whichever one of those things happen, that's what's going to happen. So what is it that you would want said? I thought a little bit about this week. You know, there are some things that come to my heart and my mind, but what I want to say, I would want to say that he, a couple things. Let's see if I can find it here to make sure. that I'm okay. He loved God and lived his life to bring glory to God. He could not do everything, but he did what he could. Now, obviously, I want to be thought of that they loved their family, they loved their church family. But if I love God, I'm going to love my church family. I'm going to love my church family. If I'm going to love God, it's going to be a sacrifice. I want to use my life to bring glory to God. And that's he lived his life to bring glory to God. And even though he could not do everything, he did what he could. And I've sat to some people and says, is there any special message that you want to give your family when you're gone, when you're the one laying there in that box? Is there something that you want said? Obviously, they're not going to be saying, well, this is what I want you to say about me. No, but this is the message I want portrayed. These are the things I want remembered. These are the things that are most important. And we come to this beautiful act, and we see here that there's people being critical. There's people who are murmuring. There's people who are causing her a problem. And God says, look, that's a good work. And he uses all those examples. I want to be someone who is well-pleasing to the Lord. So consider the longevity of the memorial. Consider the reach of the memorial. Not only does it say that wheresoever the gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of her and world of her. So wheresoever means anywhere it's been preached. Continent after continent after continent. Country after country after country. All over the world. She is an international blessing. Have you ever prayed that you would be a worldwide blessing? You say, Pastor, I don't need my name to be out in lights. Neither did Mary. I don't think any way, shape, or form did Mary turn around and say, hey, I want to do this to get notoriety. I think she was in love with the Lord, and she just wanted to do something that would be remembered by him. And God remembers things differently than what other people remember. It's interesting sometimes when people come up and they give their memories. Sometimes people share memories of vacations. Sometimes people share memories of spiritual things. Sometimes it's interesting. But what does God remember? What would God say? That is the reach of memorial. Wheresoever the gospel shall be preached. I think we should pray that we be a worldwide blessing. Now, not to have our name recognized, but that we can influence. How can we be a worldwide blessing? Well, we just had our missions conference. We could be a worldwide blessing by praying, by going, by giving. We can be a blessing to those that are around us. Someday we're going to meet people in heaven that God allowed us to have a part in the ministry that reached those people. And they're going to say, hey, thank you for what you did. I honestly believe that we'll see some fruit based off the giving that we've done, off the praying that we've done, and by the going that we do. We never know the type of influence, but God does. So consider the longevity. Consider the memorial. What would others say about you? And the question is, would they be truthful? They encouraged me to do good works. They provoked me to good works. I learned something from them. I sat next to them in church. I saw they paid attention. I saw they loved God. I saw that they were doing all these things. I went out on visitation with them. They taught me something. They showed me how to treat somebody else. They showed me how to communicate with people that I don't really get along with. They showed me these different things. That's not what people say. I learned how to ignore people. I learned how to not behave. I learned, what are we showing it? What is it that we once said? Where is it the time that people come out and they say, you know what, they taught me by example. They never even knew it. They were just so faithful. They were just there every single service. They did what they could. How many times have people been a testimony to us? And we've seen their faithfulness. We've seen their longevity. We've seen how they've ministered and how they loved. We've seen how they taught a class for 20, 30, 40, 50 years. And we've seen how they've done all of these different things. And it speaks to our hearts. And we can say that this is what they meant to us. This is the testimony they provided for us. Even though they may have never, ever told us something individually, or they maybe never done a certain act for us, but we've learned from them. That's what we want. We want people to see, not based off that we want notoriety, but we want something that's going to last, something that's going to last for eternity, instead of just being something that's frivolous and say, well, they showed me this. What are we teaching the next generation? What are we teaching our family? What are we teaching our fellow church members? Are we provoking them to good works? Are we provoking them to teach another generation how not to love God like they should? Mary here is giving an example, and she says, this is something that's going to last forever. And this is something that's going to remember it everywhere, because this type of love transcends time, transcends sincerity. And the reason why sometimes people aren't in churches anymore is it says, I'm tired of seeing the hypocrisy. I'm tired of the insincerity. I'm tired of people saying one thing and acting a different way. I'm tired of someone telling me this is what I should do, but doing something different. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of that. And once again, people are misunderstood. People are sitting there and they're judging Mary for this beautiful act of love and service. But God looks at that and says, that's beautiful. That's good. But sometimes we have people that says, a lot of those people in church, they were phonies. And I was like, do we want them to hear? Yes, we want them to hear the preaching and teaching. We want them to God to purify his church, not in fact of getting rid of people. Instead, that their hearts would be purified and God would speak to their hearts. So that way we can be a generation that can say, this is what it looks like to love God. This is what extravagant love looks like. This is what worship looks like. This is what sacrifice looks like. This is what believing. Remember, she was the only one that said, I know he's going to die because I listened to what he said. Nowhere else do we see anybody else in the Bible. What is it that we're showing them? What are we telling them? What is that people would say at your service? Would they be telling the truth when they said, boy, they loved the Lord with all their heart? I've heard people say that about others. And I'm not picking, I'm not making any specific individual to try to say, oh, they're talking about, I've done enough services right now to say, I'm not even talking about one specific person. But they said they loved the Lord with all their heart, but they weren't faithful to church. They wouldn't say they're not faithful to church, but I knew them. You know, I've seen their challenges. I've seen those things. And this is the goal. We want to love like this. And people might say that because they want to try to build that person up. But what would truly be said about you? Man, I hope that convicts our hearts and say, you know what? I want to love like that. I want to have a testimony that is going to last, a testimony that's going to come down from generations, because that's the person who led me to the Lord. That's the person that taught my mom or my grandmother or great-grandmother to love God, because they showed them this. We hear testimonies and stories about people like that. I want to have this type of testimony. Now, it might not reach throughout the whole world. I don't care. I just want to do what I can, what I should. She have done what she could. The only way we're going to get there is when we can do what we can. With being faithful, we're going to do what we can about worship, sacrifice, that list about 7 or 8 things today. There's nothing stopping us from being clean except ourselves. There's nothing stopping us from sacrificing except ourselves. There's nothing that's stopping us from being faithful but ourselves. There's nothing that's stopping us from trusting in the Lord but ourselves. We want to say, well, I can't speak Spanish, or I can't speak this. I can't go to this other country. I physically can't do this. I can't do. There is a list of things that we can do. And that's all Mary was doing. She used something that was hers, that belonged to her. And she had such a love for him. She demonstrated what she had with what she could. And Jesus looked at that and said, that's beautiful. Why is that? Because he looks at things in a different way. He does. And I mentioned it this morning in Sunday school and Sunday morning, I think Mary is somebody, when you love the Lord with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, you see things differently. Some people will look at that thing and they will be like, that's a waste, like Judas did, and Judas influenced the other disciples. And I mentioned, what was the waste? Was it the oil, that the perfume that Jesus said was beautiful, that was a good work, or was it Judas who spent 3 years with Jesus? Which one was the waste? We looked at that in Sunday school. But when we consider this, there was a group of men here. None of them said, that's beautiful. None of them had the heart of God. None of them had the heart of Christ and said, hey, you know what? Jesus has been talking about his death. And none of them had put the connection. Instead, they were quick to jump on the bandwagon because it didn't make sense. And sometimes we're quick to jump on a bandwagon is something that doesn't make sense, because we're not loving like that. We're not sacrificing like that. And God has put a special, I want to make sure I use the right word, but there's a special intuition. There's a special way of looking at things. If you connect your whole life to God, you connect your whole life to the gospel, you connect all of you into him, you know what's going to happen? When you're willing to fast, and some people look at that and say, I don't get that. When you're willing to continue to read through your Bible, when you're willing to go up and talk to anybody, when you're willing to let, when God speaks to your heart and you're wondering, how can they treat that person like that when they did that? I don't understand that. It's because you're missing something, because there's not a love there. There's not the love and the passion that Mary had. Mary understood that. Everybody else didn't. Jesus said, you know, leave her alone. Let her alone. She have wrought a good work. And she came for his burying. Everybody else missed it. And sometimes we want to be critical of those that say, hey, I want to go to the other side of the world and serve the Lord. Or I want to go help people that I don't understand why you would want to help someone like that. Or I want to do this. I want to do that. God's placed this on my heart. And we're wondering, that doesn't make any sense to us. It's because we're missing something. God, if we attach our whole life to him and to his word, when someone says, hey, I feel like God's calling me to go give my life over in another country. Some people say, oh, that's a waste. God says, I think that's beautiful. Oh, that's a waste to give that much towards missions, don't you? God says, I think that's beautiful. Investing in people that are maybe not what we would consider worthy of our investment. Some people look at that and say, I don't know why. God says that's beautiful. They look at it differently because their heart is different. Their love is different. They're completely in love with someone. So here's a couple of things I want you to see about. And what would God say? Will God say, well done, that good and faithful servant? Will he say that you've done what you could? I believe God looks at our service different than man does. And we know that because if you think about it, what does he say in 1 Samuel about when they were looking for the king? He said, man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart. So here's a couple of things. I've read an illustration from a preacher. He says, Jesus took what Mary did and he put it in what one preacher calls God's memory box. That's not all God has in there. He has the two mites that the widow gave at the temple. He has the broken ointment bottle. He has the gold, the frankincense, the myrrh of the wise men. He has the worship of the shepherds. He has the testimony of the maniac of Gadara. He has the 10th leper in there. He has the man that was born blind. He has the man that laid at the pool of Bethesda for 38 years. He has the faith of a dying thief, the Roman centurion Zacchaeus. He has the gratitude of the woman with the issue of the blood, or Jairus, or the widow Nain, a myriad of others. He has all this and more in his memory box. He never forgets, and they will all be rewarded for their love, their faith, their worship, because it was sincere. It was real. It was true. It's something that moved the heart of God. And as I mentioned earlier, that smell, when there was nothing else around him at that moment in time, that could encourage him. No one else in his sight. When he looked over and he saw Peter, he wept. He looked at Peter. His face at that point in time was broken up and beat. But who was he looking at? He was looking at the one who just denied him three times. To our knowledge, no one else sitting there trying to be an encouragement and help. But there was a smell there. There was something that was encouraging to him. God is teaching us that everything that represents true service, sincere service to him, it's never going to be forgotten. Those things that are noted by him and they possess lasting eternal value. There will come a day when he will reward his servants for their service, for their extravagant worship for his glory. Think about a few of these verses that come to mind when we think about things that he says is going to have a reward. Mark 9:41, for whosoever shall give a cup of cold water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. Yeah, what do you mean a cup of cold water? That might be the only thing a person can do. But they've done what they could. If they've done it in the name of the Lord, they've done it out of a love for God. And you think about what it says in Matthew 25, even without realizing it, for I was hungered and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. Naked, you clothed me, and I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison, you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when shall we thee hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, insomuch as you've done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. This is what God says. This is what gets rewarded. Someone who does something out of love for me. Someone who does and helps others that maybe not, we might not want to help. He says, and you get the picture that the righteous is there. They've just served the Lord with their lives. They've just given when they were felt that they should give. They've just done what they knew that they were supposed to do. And in the end, God is saying, hey, look, you saw me. I was naked and you clothed me. And it's like, God, I've never even saw you. How did I ever see you naked? When did I clothe you? He's like, it's when you've done it unto the least of me. When you've done it with the right heart. When you've done it with sincerity. When you've done it just because you loved me. He says, that's when I took notice. And that's what I remember. And that's what I'm going to reward. Not when I get something out of it. Not when Judas says, what will you give me? And I'll give him to you. No, it's what can I give you? That's what he remembers. Think about Paul as he's writing and he says, I am now ready to be offered. He's getting ready to be killed for the cross of Christ. He says, I know I'm going to be offered. There is going to be a day in his life that someone is going to take his life, chop off his head. To be offered. But that day, before that came, Paul offers himself to God. Day after day after day, he gets on that altar and says, this is not my life. This is your life, Lord. Do whatever you want with it. He's the one that writes a daily sacrifice. That's what God sees. And God says, and then Paul says, I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. They have something that's motivating him. And when I consider this, and I see that Mary is remembered for this, and God says, look, if you do even just something as simple as a cup of cold water, the cup of cold water doesn't cost anything nowadays. It doesn't seem like just a little bit of effort. But if you'll just do the smallest thing with the right spirit and the right heart, he says, I'll remember that. When you've done all these things to all these people that you just did it because you love me, I'll remember that. So what will they say about you? How will God remember you? Deep down inside, I want God to be pleased with my actions. Am I all the way there? No. Is there things I say and do that I know I probably could do better at? Yes. You can ask my wife. Hopefully she wouldn't tell you, but there are times when I say and do things that I wish that I had done better. Now, I'm not going and smacking her around, and I'm not, but at the same time, I don't respond always the right way. But you know what? I can. If I would work at it, she did what she could. Are you doing what you can? Honestly, with your life right now, if you can worship, if you can sacrifice, if you can be clean, and just start with that clean part, you can be clean. There's nothing stopping you. He's, as a born-again believer, you do not have to let sin reign in your mortal body. It's wrong for you to do. You can be clean. You can be right with God. You can worship him. You can study your Bible. You can pray. You can be, Pastor, I'm not as talented as somebody else. Do what you can. That's what Mary got. She got rewarded because she did what she could. She was overwhelmed in a world that was very dark. Her Messiah was getting ready to die. She's overwhelmed with emotion. She knows what he's getting ready to face, at least a tip of what he's getting ready to face. And she knows what he's getting ready to face. And she anoints him and she says, I just want you to know, I know and I believe in you. And this is all I know how to do. This is all I know that I can do to show that I love you. It might not be much. It might not be stopping the Roman soldiers. It may not be me going to the cross and dying for you instead. It may not be me doing this or me doing that or doing this or doing that. But this is something I know I can do for you and show you how much I love you. What is it that in our lives that we can say, I can't do all these other things, but this is something I know that God wants me to do. And because I love him, I want to sacrifice for him. And I want to give this to him because I love him. We struggle with just ourselves and our flesh so much that we missed it. And then when we don't do it right, the world sees it around us that someday when someone stands behind a pulpit and we're the one on the box, in the box, or in the urn, or just having a memorial service, and people are talking and saying things about us, More than likely, they're going to be nice things. I always do my best to try to think of something nice to say. Lots of people, it's very easy to do. Some people, it's a little bit more difficult. I tell people I'm not going to lie, though, for them. I say, if you want to get up there and lie, that's your choice. I'm not getting up and lying. But what will other people say? Remember, we're burning that into their hearts right now. We're doing that right now in how we live. And sometimes there's a life of regrets. I go and I hear and I talk to people as they're getting older. Never once have I heard anybody tell me, I wish I didn't serve God. I regret serving the Lord. Never once. It's always, I wish I had done more. I wish I would have taught my family earlier. I wish the love I have, I wish I could do. I put so much emphasis over here and over there. I wish they could have seen how I feel today as I get closer to eternity. So what would man say? Do a little heart searching and see what is it that you would want said. And then what would God say? I love this. I see the longevity in this verse. I see the reach in this verse. And of course, Mary does this. And Mary is the only one that we see mentioned like this. But you can go through and we mentioned how many Bible characters this morning that was in impossible situations and all they did was what they could. Joseph did what he could. In the Old Testament, God used him mightily. David did what he could against Goliath. We think about Esther. She used what influence she had and did what she could. She said, if I die, I die. I'm going to do what I can. Noah, build an ark. That's all he could do. You know, over and over, he couldn't stop the rain, but he could obey God. You know, Daniel couldn't stop the edict, but he could keep on praying. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego could not knock Nebuchadnezzar off, but they could stand for the Lord. Do what you can. Do what you can. Do it at a sincere heart. And God says, that's what I will remember. And that's what I want you to be remembered as. A sweet smell, a sweet savor. We're going to close with this. Go ahead and take your Bibles to Revelation chapter number 3. Revelation chapter number 3. I think some of you know where we're going with this and we're closing with this. There are things in our lives that we're saying a sweet smell. You ever smelled something that was so bad, almost made you sick? It made you gag. It made you just your stomach turn. God says about the church in Laodicea, and this is what we'll close with. Now, this church thought they were good, but God says, make me want to spew out of my mouth. Look what it says in Revelation chapter number 3, and it's amazing. This is what God thinks of this church, and this is the church age that we live in prophetically. And unto the angel of the, verse 14, chapter 3, Revelation, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith, amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. He says, you're lukewarm. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Now, you know, if we're lukewarm, we need to deal with that. God does not like that. God says it makes him sick to his stomach. Verse 17, this is some of the characteristics. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increase of goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. He's like, look, you say everything's good. You say everything's fine, but you're missing the whole point. You don't even know that you're wretched. You don't even know that you're miserable and poor and blind and naked. He says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich in white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. Anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. And as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. He says, hey, look, you're struggling. I want to spend some time with you. Open up the door. Hear what I'm trying to say to you. You think everything is just right and perfect. Come spend some time with me. as you come spend some time with me, the things that you say is a waste, God says is beautiful. When you begin to love me like you should, the change of our heart attitude towards things are going to be like, wow, I see why they sacrifice. I see why they give. I see why they do what they do. I understand that because I've connected my life to him. There are things that are a higher priority. There are things that make more sense. There are things that make a difference. There is a reaching out to world, this world that needs to happen, because the closer you get to him, he has a heart of missions. The closer we get to God, the more we're going to want to go and tell others. Other people said, no, that's a waste. God says, that's beautiful. Look at this. There are some things that is a sweet smell to God, and there's some things that he says, I will spew thee out of my mouth. How do you want to be remembered? You don't want to remember somebody that made God sick? Of course not. Yes, what man thinks, what you would want said about you, and then what God thinks. That longevity of that memorial was awesome. The reach of that memorial is awesome. You say, Pastor, I don't know if I could ever do something like that. The point is, only do what you can. Let God take care of the rest. And he will. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. Lord, it all goes back to the love Mary had, the focus that Mary had. And Lord, this was a testimony that has lasted for over 2,000 years and reached into parts of the world that she would have never, ever gone to. Lord, I know we spent a lot of time on this story today. I pray it makes a difference in someone's life. Lord, help us to love the way that Mary loved you. Help us to worship and sacrifice and trust, like we learned about this morning. Lord, help us to do what we can. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.